Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. And as you're turning, just want you to know a couple of things. This is the Peter who walked with Jesus, who denied Jesus, deserted Jesus. This is the Peter that cussed folks out, cut people's ears off. It's the Peter, same Peter. He writes to encourage us today. 1 Peter chapter 1. Father, we thank and praise you for this time that you have given us to just shake the weight off, to worship you, to praise you. God, it was only you who gave us strength to make it here, grace that got us here, and love that's keeping us here. Now that we're here, Lord, bring us to a oneness. Bring down every wall of division, everything that is keeping us from being totally in you. Loose us now from everything that is restricting and trying to constrict our praise. We bind that boa constricting spirit. Now, God, loose that you may manifest yourself in a way that we, your body, would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We thank you. And I, Lord, as your humble servant, I ask you now, Lord, that you would move me. Press me out of the way. Consecrate me, Lord, that I may even be fit to be used by you. We're your people, God, and we desire to hear from you, so come now for our hope is in you. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, beginning at verse 10, it says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. I got to stop right there. The prophets in the Old Testament prophesied about the grace that was coming to you. Now, the prophecy is saying that it was God's mouth coming through God's man to let us know that grace was coming to us. Now, skip to verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Everybody know Jesus is real. Say amen.
Amen.
So if revelation has come to you, you can rest your hope in that grace. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who is without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Get this, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Amen. That's good. Yep. We can go home now. But go back to verse 13. I'm going to read it one more time and talk to you for a few minutes. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully upon the grace. That's what I want to talk to you today. Just rest your hope. Tell your neighbor, get some rest. You may be seated. Peter writes, he writes to us today with expressions on hope. And we're going to park at that 13th verse as I believe the Lord is speaking to us regarding hope. Hope is to cherish a desire with expectations of fulfillment, or better said, trust and reliance upon the desire accompanied by expectation. So then, hope is what you believe and desire with an absolute expectation. So when you put your hope in God, you will never be disappointed. You might not like how things are working, because most of us do not like suffering. But Peter, in 1 Peter, he later defines in the third chapter how suffering is a part of the journey, because God uses trials, tribulation, and suffering to bring out the character of God that is already in you. Therefore, it is like the olive. The best part of the olive is the oil that is extracted from the olive, but you cannot get the oil without first crushing the olive. So then, we know Christ is the anointed one who has now placed his spirit in us, which means that we have the anointing. But in order to get the anointing out, we have to be crushed on the outside. Paul says we're crushed, but not in despair. He goes on to let us know that things will happen in life, but everything that happens in life, if you are of God's righteousness, you know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. But he is going to work out what needs to be worked out of you. And most of us don't realize that there's still some stuff that we need worked out of us. And so when God begins to allow things to happen in your life, you act surprised and begin to focus on what's going wrong instead of who's all right. So then we have even engrafted that when things are going what we call out of control, it's really going into control. But we don't want to use ourselves as a point of reference that when you was going out of control, you were really spinning into his control. And I can use myself as a reference because things in life has happened that has spun me out of control. And while I got out of control, God stepped in and gained control. And the thing that I thought was spinning me out was really spinning me in. Therefore, I could not rest in the hope because my thought process was things were going out of control. And listen, I want you to get this because it is all based on what's going on up here for you to really agripulate with the spirit that's in here. Most of us would be honest to say that we don't like trials and we definitely don't like tribulation. Is there anybody in here who likes trouble? But God uses trouble so that when he rescues you from trouble, you'll understand that he is the bridge over the trouble. And it was not you that were holding you that when trouble came, that it was God that was holding you. God wants us to know and realize that his grace is sufficient. His grace is what saved us, and it's his grace that keeps covering us moment by moment. So then, Peter, who understands that it was grace that brought him back, it was grace that helped him out, because Peter was a fisherman, and Peter, his lifestyle in the world was one way, and then he meets up with Jesus. So then he's following after Jesus in his way, but still wrapped in his old way. Whereby now you can get a picture that Christ has came into you and brought revelation to you and saved you by grace. He didn't save you because you were good. He didn't save you because you were smart. He saved you because he loves you. He's cleaning you because that is his job to do. We cannot clean ourselves. I know we can say, oh, yes, I'm doing this now, I'm doing that now. Yeah, well, here's some breaking news to you. The only reason why you're able to do it is because Christ is now dwelling in you, is helping you do what's right instead of you keep doing what's wrong. So then we can never take any credit for anything that we are doing because it is not us doing it. It is Christ that is doing it through us. Peter begins to write with us, and he deals with us in a way that I believe that we really need to grab today. He deals with us from a point of rest. He says, rest in the hope. So I got to help you for a minute, because there's some of us who have had too many sleepless nights. And it's because where you place your hope. And if you place your hope there, you will rest right there. And if you place your hope into something other than God, you won't be able to sleep. Because a lot of us don't realize it, but we've placed our hope in a troubled situation. And then you start thinking about it all the time. And then you try to go to sleep and you have dreams about it. Because you put hope in it. Listen, God is your hope. And if God took care of you as wayward as you were, then surely you have hope that would take care of every little thing that comes your way. Because if he brought you out, he knows how to keep you out. Do you know that we put so much hope in other stuff that we can't get no rest? Remember when the basketball season, the Warriors, it was 20-0 and everybody couldn't wait. Tuesday night, 7:30. I'm so glad it wasn't Wednesday. Everybody was trying to tune in because they were hoping that the Warriors wouldn't lose. Hope. Ha, they lost. How about that? But we put our hope in stuff. We put our hope in people instead of putting our hope in God. And so we put so much pressure on people. So I hope Pastor has a word today. Pastor don't have no word. All of it's God's. I hope Pastor move out the way so God can use him today. How about that? We put our hope, and this is how you know when you put your hope in Pastor. When you come to church and you hear a word that you didn't want to hear, oh, I don't know what was wrong with Pastor today. How about this? It is God who brings your mail. And if you hoping that God will bring your mail through the pastor, breaking news, the mailman will show up and deliver the mail that you need so that you will have the hope that you need. And all your hope has to be is anchored in God. My mother hoped that I'd be successful. I know she didn't hope I was going to be a pastor. She was just hoping I would be successful. I know she was hoping that, because she would tell me, oh, you're going to be there. You smart. You this, you that. And while she was hoping, I was doing some wild stuff. But I'm so glad that there was someone whose hope was anchored in God. And when our hope gets anchored, we begin to speak hope. Instead of speaking death, we bring death into a situation and we begin to magnify the situation, and it erases our hope. It went wrong. Get over it. How about this? God knows how to get it right. And my hope is in God. And he's never failed me. And when you set your expectation on what God can do, forget about what anybody else can do, because your hope is not based on what somebody tells you. Your hope is based on what God has already promised you. And listen, God said that he would take care of me and my whole household. And if my household get out of order, I'm not going to faint and I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to begin to praise God, and I'm not going to do what I used to do and complain about what's going wrong. I'm going to start thanking God for what he's about to make right in my house. Is there any praisers in the house? hope will make you praise God. When you're anchored in him, your hope is in him. I don't want to talk about what's wrong. I know you got to come up with a plan, but I got to go back to God and see what his plan is. So Paul said, rest in the hope. But he says something that really deals with me. It hit my spirit when he said, gird up your loins of your mind. Now, he said, in order to rest in hope, you're going to have to get your mind right. In order to get your mind right, you're going to have to know that you know. None of this wavering back and forth. Either God can do it or he can't. Either God will or he won't. Now, whose report will you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. Now it says, when there was song, he said, I've never seen it. Never seen what? Never seen God fail. Never seen God leave us alone. Never seen God turn his back on his people. Never. So when you begin to know that you know, do you understand that when we begin to speak on things that are not of God, we are holding that thing in the reality of the matter. Let me help you. You on drugs, and people start talking about the drugs, when God has delivered so many from drugs. How about let's just talk about the deliverer? When you begin to speak on the deliverance comes. But it's all in your voice, what you have to say. When you begin to speak the blessings over your children's life, blessings will take over your children's life. When you begin to speak the blessing over your own life, the blessing will take over your life. I've been in the hospital where doctors have said, well, what did you get here for? To read them their last rite? No, I didn't get here to read them their last rite. I came here to breathe life into their body, because whose report will I believe? And God said, you shall live and not die, says the Lord. I've come into a place where I just believe God. Hallelujah. Now get this. If you know what God can do, why don't you believe what he can do rather than what's going on? God can do anything. He can do it when? Anytime. Yeah, but he hasn't done it yet. It ain't too late. I heard him sing late in the midnight hour. God's going to turn it around. He's going to work in your favor. How about that for some nuggets of truth? Isn't it something how disappointments happen in your life, and then you call someone and you tell them about your disappointment? It's strange that all of a sudden you get a cheerleader. Yeah, you right. Oh, no. They never should have did that to you. Oh, I don't know how. That happened. Oh, yeah. Ooh, wee. You gotta hang up the phone. You talking to the wrong one. But if you call somebody and you start talking about their disappointment and they tell you, yeah, but Jesus can fix it. Man, Jesus turned some stuff around. Jesus know how to take somebody when they drowning and bring them up. Jesus is a resurrector. Jesus can do anything. He's a redeemer. Don't you give up on them. Don't you turn your back on them. You stay right there and call on the name of Jesus. You just stay on the phone and say, you the one for me. You the one. Because they are empowering your hope. People be trying to derail your hope. Your hope is in God. What is God's plan? It is to bless you. and your children and your children's children's children. That is God's plan, and that's my hope. I don't care what happens. You can have a whole lot of stuff. You can have the gold. You can have the silver. But you can't have my hope. Why? Because I know. Now I'm going to help you know. Check this out. It says, we have the hope of glory. Put Colossians 1:27 up. We have the hope of glory in us. Now we understand we want things to go a certain way. But your mind has to line up with God's mind. How does God want it to work out? Let me help you. It's a secret. Don't you tell nobody. This is how God wants it to work out. For your good. Wait. I gotta tell them. For your good. How does God want it to work out? For your good. Now, God is all powerful. Does he know how to work it out for your good? If you know that you know that you know that God is going to work it out for your good, you ought to be celebrating every day. Hallelujah. Forget, you know what, my hope, when I was dealing with the hope, I understood, I said, wow, I used to hope the Dallas Cowboys win it all. I did. I like the Dallas Cowboys because they had stars on their helmet. And they had these shiny uniforms. If you ever see them, they look good. And so I liked the Cowboy. I was crazy about the Cowboy. And they would play, and they was good, too. And then they lost. And I walked around, man, my Cowboys lost. Man. Then all of a sudden, I said, I'm the biggest kind of fool. 49ers beat them, and they happy. So I determined, I'm not putting my hope in another team. Why would I do that and I like to celebrate too much? So I might show up at a Super Bowl party with both hats. And you could be mad if you want to. But I like celebrating. So whatever team is winning, that's my team. That's why I fit in with this Jesus thing, because that's my team. I'm on a Jesus team. I know I have victory. Even when it looks like I'm going to lose, victory always stands up and proclaims that I am a winner in Christ Jesus. And now, to them God willed to make known that are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's the riches. So there's no reason for you to chase riches. You got riches. Because Christ now dwells in you, which is the hope of glory. So then, where should your hope be? In him. You are already locked in. Now get this. Now that you know that hope is in you, that's why even when you feel like something is going to destroy you, you keep going. That's what the scripture means when it says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When you felt like you were going to fall apart, something held you together. And so we understand that is the Christ, that hope that will have you rest even when you can't rest, when you hope in him. The second thing. So we have hope that's dwelling in us, but Paul says, you have this already in you. But the issue is, this mind says, gird up. Right? Gird up. You are holding God limited in your mind. Yeah, when you doubt and when you worry, you are holding God limited. In other words, you are still holding on to what you believe. And so most of us don't realize that we are holding on. Instead of holding on to God, we are holding on to our own hope. And so I'm stuck holding on to what I'm hoping that I would achieve. But God has a greater hope for me. But I can't get it until I let go of what I'm holding on to. Do you know we hold on to anger, which messes up our hope? It tries to diffuse us from going to where God has already promised us. Now, he promised us a complete life, a wholeness of life, but we're holding on to something that is making us crazy. And we begin to dwell on it. And now I'm trying to go with God. Hold me. But I can't go. And so the thing that I was holding on to now is holding on to me. And the reason why it grabbed hold of me is because I kept looking at it. And if you keep looking at something, it will hold your attention to it until it starts holding you. But the Bible says, hold on to God's unchanging hand, because this thing is sending you through too many changes, and you need to go through something that's stable. So let go and let God be who he is in your life so that you can rest right there in him. Let it go. Everybody just lift up your hands. Just shake it free. We said, now get this. You have this hope of glory that's going to get you everywhere God has promised you. You know, your dream is not dead. Your dream is resting. Because you have been holding on to the wrong thing. And so God says, I can't fulfill your dream until you get where your dream is. So why don't you rest where your dream is resting? Because your dream came from God. And if you're not fulfilling the dream, it will rest until you rest with God, and then the dream can, oh, goodness, I got to talk to them. That's why. Do you understand? That's why Jesus is the hope of glory who dwells in us. And Jesus, even though people were yet blind, he said, you have to have vision. And so he walked by people, grabbed dirt from the ground, spit on it, slapped them in the eye, let them see. He walked past Jesus, walking along, calling folks who had dead dreams, who were dead sleeping with their dream, out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth. I'm here to tell whoever's been sleeping and not resting in their dream that God has said, it is time for you to come forth. Let go of the thing that's been holding you bondage, wrapped up in a cave. It is time for your hope to come alive, and your hope is in Christ. Peter was with Jesus. Jesus was telling him, I got to show my people that suffering's going to come, but their hope is in me, and I'm going to raise them up in due season. What am I saying? Stuff is going to happen in life, but don't let that hold your dream. Here's how grace works. Grace stood up for you and covered you while you were messed up, so that you'll be able to give grace to somebody else who messed up. And so grace has been put in place for us so that we have hope. Because There's some spirits that's going to try to rob you of your hope. But don't put your hope in anything that's not of God. If something comes along and tries to get you not to hope, then you're going to have to praise your way out of it. Do you understand what praise does? God says, I inhabit the praise of my people. So listen, get this, because we think in our mind when things are going bad, we're supposed to be mad. When somebody do you wrong, we're supposed to get mad at them. When things are not happening right, we're supposed to have an attitude. But that's not God's way. He says, I inhabit the praise of my people. So if things are not going right, why don't you praise them? We wait for the touchdown, the three-pointer. And then we jump up and shout, oh, praise you. Get the lotto ticket. Oh, thank you, Lord. I won $10 million. That $10 million may be the way to take you to hell, and you shouting about the $10 million. How about this? You got the riches of God. When? Every single day. And so when trouble comes into the house, it's time for you to gird up your mind, right? Gird up your mind, and your mind should lead you in the time of trouble to praise God. Why? Because you're not supposed to in the natural. But you're not natural. But we've been around natural people, so we've been trying to live a natural life. Give up your citizen card to the natural. You were called and chosen to the supernatural. You are kingdom kids. You came from heaven, and now you ought to bring down heaven unto earth and let God's will be done. Why do you act different? Because I am different. You've been looking for aliens in outer space. I'm an alien right here on earth. You don't got to invent no more rockets. You can see aliens right here in Brentwood. Not from here. How can you shout and pray when so much trouble is happening? Because God said he inhabits the praise. That means that when I begin to praise, when stuff is messed up, he comes in it. I'm going to talk to these folks over here because there's something. When stuff is going all bad and you begin to praise God, he comes down through your praise. And if God gets in the house, everything gets right in the house because God, oh, God is in the house. In Philippians 2 and 5, it says, he's talking about gird up your loins. Now, back in the day, everybody wore the long curse, and they had the belt, the men, and so you couldn't move as freely. So sometime in the water got too deep, you got to pull it up so that you are not limited in your movement, so you can move quickly. He said, gird up your loins of your mind so that you can move quickly. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not talking about moving in your will. You can move quickly out of your mind into the mind of Christ. Put this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who counted himself as nothing unto God, but everything for every man. This hope. Should have you resting. And the church that's not from here has hooked up with some worldly stuff and they need to let it go. I'm going to praise God every day, whether up or down. I find myself content in him. You can't control me. The stuff you do can't control me. Only God controls this, because I don't belong to this anymore. I belong to him. And when you admit that you belong to him, you can start operating just like him. Like he said, he created us and bring change to it. You can speak to a thing and make it stay right where it is, depending upon what comes out of your mouth. Either you're a life giver or a life taker. But you got to make up your mind. Either you're going to bring about change for the good, or you're going to let it stay bad. But let me tell you something. God has promised you that he put his spirit in you, which is hope. And he wants you to rest right there. What hope? That the promises of God are going to be fully activated in my life. In other words, God's got this. If you can't do nothing about it, guess who can? God. And if you know God can do it and there's none good except God, you ought to have you a celebration party. That's what's wrong. We don't throw enough parties. Gabe and I went to the store a few minutes ago. We had to run to the store. I got to the store, and we went up to the register, and I'm walking in. I'm walking in trying to brighten everybody's day because they got to work on Sunday. I'm bringing the good news to them. And we walk over there, and we get up to the register, and I'm just being cheerful and just encouraging the man. And the man next to me, he's looking over. He got all his kids with him. He's looking. I'm just smiling from ear to ear. I just can't stop. I can't stop praising his name. That's in my spirit. I'm just happy. And so he looks over, and I say, oh, hey. I said, oh, isn't it good? He said, huh? I said, man, the sun is shining. Ain't it? Oh, the sun is shining. He looked out. He said, sun ain't shining. Where he shining? I said, he's shining in here. And then he got happy. And Gabe started laughing. And that was wrong. We don't want to celebrate with folks who are looking at a gray sky because we have the sun at all times, baby. I'm here to brighten you up. Oh, my hope. We got to go. But you got to rest. You got to rest. Can I just say this? I don't know why this is in my spirit. Let it go. Please, let it go. Let it go. It's only stopping you from walking. Listen, into the full will of God. Watch it. I was praying to God, and I said, I told God, thank you. And I was talking to somebody, and I was sharing how the things that God has given me vision for. And I used to get disappointed in people and get disappointed when there wasn't no money. I'm talking to two or three of you right now. But you know what I found? That I have the hope of glory in me. All the riches of God dwell here. He says, rest in that hope. And the blessings that I have for you are going to catch up to you. The reason why the blessings haven't overtook you is because you've been going after stuff. And God has been trying to get you to rest in the hope of glory. So he said to me, sit your little self down. And I sat down. He said, picture this. Until you set yourself down, the blessings that I had chasing you would never catch you. But they're going to catch you while you're resting in the hope that I put in you. Give God a hand of praise.